Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing you the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture with co-host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Your boy Joe Thunder. This is part two with my homie 800 the Jewel and Trugger Beats. Be Good Dispensary. Shout out Sin. Can't make it, but we're still trucking along and giving you more fucking content. But set it off.
Investing in yourself, big key. It's a huge key, man. But like, you got to know what you're in for when you take off in this music shit, man. Like, I actually went to college for the theory of music, and like, even though it wasn't so much about the business side of music, I mean, like, there was a lot of knowledge I still picked up, man. And there was a lot of shit that I didn't know because I was a young man. We're talking about.
Absolutely. There's so much little shit. Yeah. Like, by the time you fucking.
Seriously, man.
Usually, was 60, 70, yeah. And that's when you're like, that's what you're talking about. Yeah. You're like, fuck. Seriously. I wish I had known that shit when I was 20. Fuck.
I was like 18, 19 years old, man, when I went to college for that shit, man. And, I mean, I learned a lot, man. But, you know, back to the investment part, you have to understand what you're getting into, man. Like, I mean, like, people don't realize, like, you may be tight than a motherfucker. Seriously. I mean, you may be that one. That next, the shit. I'm talking about your shit is there.
Right.
But just put it on iTunes. Just put it on Spotify. I ain't going to do it. Like, this reminds me of back in the days when, like, the old mom and pop record stores were alive. Ain't nobody going to buy your album if ain't nobody know it's there. I mean, like, you got to promote it, man. And, like,
exactly. This
is where... I've even heard, like, not even being funny, man. I done heard, like, I'm a nerd when it comes to, like, media and reading and shit and being just up and aware with, like, certain people and stuff, man. But, I mean, like, there are some R&B artists that I've come across just on the net, man. It'll say, like, R&B used to be the shit back in the day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bell Biv DeVoe, all that shit. You know, SWV. Yeah, all them, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I've heard some of them artists, and, like, I've also heard artists say that they bitching, but I don't feel that way. But, like, right now, whatever's hot is going to get the promotion. Like, seriously, you got in groups. I mean, like, I didn't even know SWV had no albums after the first two albums until I seriously watched. I look for what's in front of me. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't no disrespect, man. It's just what I look for, what's in front of me. And maybe, I mean, I can't classify myself a true fan, I guess, man, because you got some diehard fans that'll follow a person's from their A-list album that come out to their bootleg career. Because, you know, I mean, like, seriously.
That was Tupac, bro.
Yeah.
I remember going to Chubby's. I worked at Denny's.
And that's what I'm saying, right?
Belly 20.
Exactly.
And I had fucking 1 through 20. Man. I go every day when
absolutely,
I get my little
bro.
Tips and go
you know
buy a couple
saying?
CDs,
just,
bro. Boom.
That type of stuff, man. But, you know, you have to treat yourself as an investment. Like, invest in yourself. Don't just want to do it. Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Like, actually find out what investment, the word, if you don't know, like, that's the best way I would tell a person to start. If you don't know what the word investment means, look it up. Investing is when you put money towards something to gain. I mean, like, the whole thing is to make money from it. You know what I'm saying? And absolutely. And to accumulate shit. You put $10,000 in the bank. What?
Videos.
You let that shit sit in the bank for what? 10, 20 years?
Yeah.
Just by itself. You ain't even doing nothing. Just let it. Seriously.
Find 10 pounds.
But you know, the key is the loss factor.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people don't want to take a loss.
Exactly.
They like, well, you know, what's the chances?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you can't be afraid of that. The loss come with the game. You're going to take a loss. I took plenty of losses,
yes.
And I'm still taking a loss, but I'm still,
still
know,
fighting, though, bro. Still at it.
So you
still
can't
grinding.
Be afraid of that. You know what I'm saying? You always going to come back up, and being down don't never last forever. So
you're right.
Yeah.
I think we're going to
be man, it's all beautiful, man. Podcast. You know, I mean, like, there's some people, real, man.
For real. Because this is y'all are holding different perspective, but y'all are kicking the knowledge that people need to know.
You have to, just in man. Life, you know, you got to, just man. Being in life.
Not just music and everything.
You have to, bro. My mom and my grandma, and I'm sure 1,000 people done heard it, because it's just, it's an old cliche, man. But if you can't do shit for yourself, you can't do shit for nobody else.
Right.
So you got to stop promising it for people who out there promising. Who, you know, if you running late on your mortgage and you can't pay your car note, just stop trying to you know, claim that you got a production company. And you got 10 people up under you. And these 10 people, because them 10 people are really relying on you.
Right.
This is, I mean, they hoping that your word is good. I mean, I've been through these type of situations growing up. Trust me, man, with multiple different companies, quote unquote, or promoters. I've had that janky promoter situation happen a couple times where it was like, damn, man, like, okay, I had a little bread and was investing and trying to be part of something, man. It didn't turn out to be shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you have to pick up and you have to move, man. That's why, like, even going back to Jewel time, man, me and Fo had a dream, man, seriously. And we took our dream, we put our dream before our homeboys and our family, and that's how Jewel time basically came about, man, seriously. AMG had a dream. Miracle and Trugonim had a dream, you know what I'm saying? And they did it. They sat down with their team, you know. I mean, they got a nice size team too, but they sat down with their team and they knew what they were up against and they did that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now what I do, I'm sorry, what were you saying, Elvis?
I said that's dope.
Oh, my fault, brother.
That's killing it.
What I do see though, and what I don't hear a lot of people talk about, is the artists who are afraid of success.
Right.
Okay, and afraid of success don't mean that you're afraid to get your music out there or nothing. I'm talking about people who realize that, like, they have the talent but won't press the execute button.
Right.
Because it may disrupt their current life situation. Because they're, and I'm being honest, because they're a mother and she got 3 kids. Or because he works 2 jobs, or it's a brother who works 2 jobs and feel like he just don't got the time for it.
So my mentality would be this. Would you rather sit up there and do what you love, make yourself rich, or work a 9-to-5, making somebody else rich?
Right.
Helping them do what they love to do while you stuck at a job not loving what you love to do.
And I'm with you, though. But what do you say to the mom who has multiple kids? And she going to say, well, you know, I'm one paycheck away from being homeless. But yet I'm talented. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you sell her on that? Because she may be, I mean, the next American Idol type shit. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But she's afraid to let go. She's in such a bind. Mm-hmm. She's trapped between the rocks so toughly that she's afraid to make any other move.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or the artist who, I mean, like you said earlier, man, it's a gamble. I know an artist. I won't say his name, man. Cool brother, man. Basically took was a mutual fund kid, we'll say that.
Right.
You know, parents passed away and everything, dude. Dropped a lot of bread on some shit. Dropped some bread, man. Nothing materialize though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I agree with the gamble portion, but even from his perspective, and I ain't gonna even get too deep though. It goes back to what I originally said. You have to understand what you're getting into.
Right.
You got to understand. If you're going to sprint, if you're going to put this type of money behind it, you got to have a game plan. I would have a drawn-out game plan.
Especially if you got kids and you got to keep a roof over your head.
Absolutely, man.
That makes the gamble even harder.
It does.
But for those who don't have that gamble, you know, and it's able to take the step to take that step, don't hesitate.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Because there's a lot of people that wish they could take that step but absolutely can't.
Absolutely.
Because they got kids, they got family, they got a good job, you know.
Yeah.
And they're probably content with that, which ain't nothing wrong with that.
So, absolutely.
You know, just
not everybody, man. You know, it's a trip, though, because I agree with what you're saying, Truger. But, you know, like, I remember, I think it was DMX. It was like a mechanic. before he got famous. Yeah, like, he worked at, like, he was a mechanic or a grease monkey or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But everybody got them stories, man. If you find, if you really dive deep into these people's lives, like, everybody started from somewhere, bro. Everybody just didn't come out the dough balling.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it takes a lot of work, man. It takes a lot of sacrifice, too, though, bro. You got to, you may not see your kids for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about, learning, understanding what you're getting into. Because, I mean, like, there's a lot of artists who, and I hate to, I hate to go this way, man, but, like, I say understand what you're getting into, because when a record company, if you sign to Universal, and Universal is one of the bigger companies. I mean, I remember back in the late 90s when my partner was telling me about the big three. He was like, man, like, he was like, because he was really big on this shit, man. Plus, he was like 25 years older than me. He was an old cat, man, old school. But he was like, dude, these smaller companies are about to get Pac-Man. That was the word I remember him using. He's like, they're going to get Pac-Man. Because when I was in the 90s, when I was still coming up, like, right now, you got what? Universal, Sony, and as far as the big three, there's a reason.
Atlantic.
But they're under, I think they're under Sony. Like, Sony ate up a whole bunch of labels. They ate up Epic.
Yeah.
They ate up, I think, Atlantic. They ate up, there was a record company called East West Records that En Vogue was on. Mm-hmm. There was, I mean, like, they Pac-Man, and that's where he said Pac-Man, until they became the big three. You know what I'm saying?
They just created sub-labels.
That's all they did, man. You know what I'm saying?
And then branch out after that.
I mean, ain't nobody silly, man. And I've seen big, I mean, like, you got big wigs talking about this shit, though. It's the way they control the industry.
But that's why you look at it on credits and stuff like that.
You got
Universal /
Exactly. Cash Money.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. Or whatever your record label absolutely. And title. So it's just, you know, that's how you know it's a sub-label, because a regular label ain't going to allow nothing else underneath that label.
Exactly.
They shouldn't. You know what I mean? So anything that, let's say, you know, Capitol Records / 300 ENT or something like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even though that's probably, that's not the same team they on. But
right.
At the same time, if it was something like that, you know, that's how you'll know.
Exactly. See, and what happens is these artists, these companies, the big three especially, give these artists like these
crazy deals.
They're called advances. And once again, you have to understand, this is where I'm going.
They're loans.
You have to understand the business.
Recoupable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you can't, your advance, they may give you a $250,000 advance.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you are now an asset to them.
Right.
Think about
even a car.
Exactly. Car, house. Whatever. Might buy your mama a house, but it's all going to get recouped.
Right.
Everything's going to get recouped. If you don't meet this, if you basically can't pay the piper, I mean, this is why I think and I know for a fact you see a lot of artists that you never see again. They come out banging.
One hit wonders,
bro, because you end up, you got to pay this money back to this label, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is cool, though, because just like a wrecked car, I'm sure these labels got insurance. They can write you off.
Yeah.
And still get their money back.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm saying, man. Like, this is real shit, though, bro. Understand what you're getting into. Like, you have to understand how this shit works, man. You have to understand it's more than going to the studio, recording, then you got this bomb song. I mean, That can happen. But that's like the run-of-the-mill dream.
Well, I mean,
exactly.
Like,
that's a dream.
That's lottery.
Yeah, you got them going out there. They get the advance. They go out there and they want to buy new clothes, designer clothes, new cars. They want to buy the latest technology and all of that stuff.
What?
6 months later, they're broke.
Let's take it a step further. You have to know the industry. Out of that $250,000, quarter of a meal. First, you got taxes, but here's up. You got to pay for it. You got to pay for your. You got to basically put a team together.
Mm-hmm.
You need a road manager.
Yep.
You need roadies to undo your gear and take your DJ. Your DJ got to be paid. If you got a DJ, if you got a band, your bandmates got to be paid. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You still got to get the tour buses, Greyhound, whatever the hell you going on. You got to charter these buses.
Studio time.
Studio time. Videos. Yep. You got to pay for all this shit
with that
out of this advance.
Yep.
And most of the time, these dudes is just like, fuck. I seen, who was it?
But they buying chains and cars.
Who was it, man? One of the rappers, I don't know if it was Method Man or not, man. I don't think it was Meth, but it was somebody who was like, where's all this goddamn money coming from? Like, seriously, though, bro. Like, this shit is epic. Like, some of the rappers that grew that were hot when I was in my generation, like in the 90s, they weren't making the type of bread that these cats are getting for sign-ons, bro. Right. Sign-ons. You hadn't even done your first album yet. We heard a couple songs from you. Signed you to the label.
But you know what it is? You know what they based it out of? Right now that they wasn't basing it out of back then is your following.
Absolutely.
So you got a following. They know for sure that they gonna make some money off you because your streams and they want to see you in places and
yes.
stuff like that. So
yes,
yeah, you're already proven before you get there.
Before you even get there,
yes.
So then they gonna sit up there and throw you that.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Just like.
Yeah. But see, this
just
is
like, just like, just like, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, bro.
Just like how, you know, when you're on YouTube and stuff like that, they used to find these artists off of YouTube.
Dude.
These one-hit wonders off of YouTube or these people that, I don't know, it maybe, if I'm not mistaken, probably paid to have their streams lifted.
Yep.
And then getting signed. You see what I'm saying? And these artists are sitting, and these labels were sitting up there signing them and they losing out, so then they stop doing that.
Right.
So it's just it's always a different approach into the industry.
I agree with you, and that's what makes the internet. Once again, and I keep saying it, man, you have to understand the game. You know what I'm saying? The internet has changed the game, man, because what you just described is how a lot of these record companies, in my words, in my opinion, are getting rich because you don't have to do artist development. If you got an artist. There's already this little dude is 16
right
years old and has 24 million views worldwide, okay? You don't have to do shit with him, but put the machine behind him.
Right.
That's all. Yeah, put your record label on it.
Stamp.
That's it, bro. Yeah, exactly. Put your label on it and that's it. There's no more, this is saving the record company's money because once upon a time, if an A&R happened to be at a club and caught a young lady singing, or an A&R director or somebody, some type of record label talent was out scouting and came across an artist, you would have to go through a process called artist development.
Yeah.
Where basically you may put a single out, you may be on the back burner. I mean, it's how it worked back then, man. But they would put you through artist development.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you would have to do like show openers, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Until you got your buzz up. Nowadays, man, once again, the internet done changed the game, bro. All they got to do is look at, who's hot? You ain't even got to do it. All you got to do is log on to YouTube.
We got more followers.
Dude, whatever video is up, whatever the hottest videos are, going to be up at the top.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So if you see Lil Jon Jon, you ain't never heard Lil Jon Jon before ever.
Keep clicking it.
Lil Jon Jon on Mama's Big Boy Records, okay? I ain't never heard of this shit before, but this little dude got 28 million views. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna click the shit.
That's what I said.
Okay. I'm just being honest, bro. Seriously, I'm gonna click the shit to see like what is Lil Jon Jon talking about. This dude got 28 million views in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In like 2 weeks, I'm looking at shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny you talk about that because we just had Afro Man on and he was talking about that. He handed out like 500 CDs at some like rave. And that's right when Napster was starting, like he said, like at least 100 people went and uploaded that shit that night. And then when he was on Vlad was like, "Yeah, I just kept seeing Afro Man. I want to get high." So I clicked on it, and listened to it, and I was
seriously,
like, "Oh my God," like just start sharing it with everyone. And,
dude, that's exactly what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? It just all it takes. I mean, like I'm gonna be honest, man. And I live by some words of old cats. Some of my older mentors gave me, man. But 90% of the, I'm sorry. What is it? I think it was what? 60% of the song is beat. 35% of the song is the chorus. The rest of the song is whatever's in between. Most people don't even know the words to the damn verses. But when the hook come on and right. when the beat come on, that's my song. That shit slapping. Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows.
Can go through the whole chorus. Baby in the back seat, in the car seat, singing the damn thing. Soon as the verse come on, though, everybody go quiet. Okay, until the hook come back. That's the truth, man. I mean, I see it. It's not hard to see, man. Like, I try to. My mama said some shit to me, man, once upon a time that I try to incorporate now that I'm getting older, especially with this music shit. But she said to me, she was like, I'm not supposed to like the music of your generation because it's not my generation. I agree with that, man. Like, right. I think you can go backwards, right. but you can't go forward.
Right.
If that makes any sense, man. That like
that makes a lot of sense.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can go backwards. I can listen to, like we was talking earlier. I mean, I can pull up, you know, some old Isaac Hayes. I can pull up some old Curtis Mayfield way before my right. time, honestly, right. man. Like, I was a kid, baby, back then. You know what I'm saying? But my ear, though, it's something about that time period that captivates me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I can't jump to the future, though. I can't jump. And, I mean, I've tried, and there are certain artists. There was a, I was watching this Full Sail University course one time, man. Like I said, geeking out, man. Learning something new about Pro Tools. I just happened to come across something he was talking about, man. And the dude was like, yeah, he was about our age or my age, and he was like, yeah, there are some of the artists that from today's time that I do have in my playlist. Like I right now on my phone, I got some Drake in there. You know what I'm saying? But you're not gonna see just like. I'm not just completely overloaded with today's music. Like, you're not going to see, you're going to see maybe 5-6 artists from today's music in there mixed in with what I grew up on and then some of the stuff that happened before me. You know what I'm saying? That it captivated me or inspired me. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's why a lot of these older artists are still coming out with music now, because to tap into that older generation to get them something that they've been missing. You know,
absolutely.
Just like this versus battle with the Dipset and yeah. the Blocks. You know yeah. what I mean? That's old school.
It is.
And you know what I mean? And that's, they. I don't know. Who did they try that with? Old school.
Shoot. I know exactly.
40 and
Too Short.
Yeah, I mean, but yep. that, you know what I mean? That was nice, but.
Or Red and Man.
Well, Wu-Tang and Gangsta, or, I mean, who was it? Premier? Or who was, no.
I'll tell you
RZA
one.
And somebody, RZA and
The what's his name, man? D'Angelo's verses was different. Because like you got a lot of today's kids ain't really up on the D'Angelo right. thing, man. And like the way that his verses was, he actually it was kind of more like a concert. He brought like guests out and stuff, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but you got a lot of people, man. Who was it, man? Like, there was one of these artists, man, one of these big new artists who was like, who is Tupac or some shit recently, man? I'm reading this damn thing, like, huh?
Yeah. Out here,
but seriously, like, yeah, something like that. He's like, who is Tupac? And I'm like, bruh, where you been at? Like, what world you done lived in?
But you got to realize the generation precedes, you know what I'm saying?
Just exactly. Like, I totally get
it,
bro.
He knows who it is. He's just on some stupid shit.
You know yeah. I mean,
He might not know who.
Well, if I look at it like this, bro, Tupac died in 96.
Yeah.
So that means if you was born in, like, if you're 21 right now and your mama didn't bump Tupac or something, there's a possibility you may not know who Tupac is. I find that hard to believe. Okay. I find that extremely hard to believe.
I'm sure.
But there's a possibility.
But everybody in that generation afterwards might not.
Seriously, you may not know who Jada Kiss
and
is.
Paintings in the hood.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, though. Yeah. I mean, but you may not know, like, I mean, like, that's like saying, like, you never heard DMX before. Like,
right.
just like, I'm going right. to look at you real funny, like right. whoa, like, okay. Yeah, you must have grew up in Philadelphia somewhere. The quiet section.
Suburbs.
Yeah, out in the somewhere, man. Because if you ain't, I mean, just certain things, man. That just, I mean, it's like me and you. I mean, us sitting here, man. Bach and Beethoven and them people weren't during our era, but yet we know who they were. You know what I'm saying? Me and you didn't talk to Etta James, man. I wish I could have sat and seen Etta James live. Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday. James is a trip, though.
He
better not sample none of her music.
Oh, no, nah, man.
After you.
No, nah, dude. Her estate is coming after you. There's a state.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's
coming after you.
Growing up listening to, I was real big on listening to a lot of West Coast shit growing up. Like, seriously, man. I thought it just had my attention, man, because of the way they did break beats and, like, use certain samples. N.W.A. Dre, Dr. Dre, man, is notorious for using, like, news clips.
Right.
Richard Pryor samples and shit.
All kinds of shit.
You know what I'm saying? Hattie McDaniel samples, shit like that. I mean, shit that you ain't going to hear on nobody else's, like, and he's brilliant with it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the type of shit that Sir Jinx, DJ Pooh. I mean, like, we can get into it now, man. DJ Premier. I mean, like, these brothers incorporated, they brought more to the table than music. They brought entertainment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different, man. I mean, like, they took it to the next level,
they
man.
Took it to the
you
next
know what I'm
level.
Saying? And that's what, to me, that's game-changing shit. Don't do... Look, T-Pain just had a rant on Instagram like 2-3 weeks ago. He went completely nuts. He said, bring me something different. He said, I want to hear something different. He said, he went through it. He went through to all the artists. He said, they all sound alike, bro.
That's because everybody is a copycat industry now.
Right.
Nobody's
very much so.
The same influences, all the same shit.
Everything, bro.
It's all YouTube. It's all the same cookie-cutter shit.
Even the producers is copycat.
Right.
Look, I'm going to say some shit to piss off some artists real quick, man. It reminds me of that episode, if y'all ever seen that episode of Boondocks, where Riley, when Thugnificent took Riley to the studio, and he played his album for him, and by the second song, he was like, oh, so you use auto-tune on that too, huh? Yeah. It's like you use it on that track too, huh? Like, all right. Like, be tricky with shit, man. Like,
different. Coming with a different swag style.
What you can use, look, this is how I look at it, man. It's like, because music has been done now. It's been done. We've had, I mean, there's from the hip-hop scene, and when I talk hip-hop, I mean like hardcore hip-hop.
Right.
Breakbeat hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? To the digital, to the synthesized scene. And when I think synthesized, like for me, I think the transition for me happened when Ice Cube released Lethal Injection.
Yeah.
Because Ice Cube, every Ice Cube album before Lethal Injection didn't have, like, it had production, but it was like Bomb Squad type production. It was like Sir Jinx type production. It's where you take, basically it's MPC if you ask me. Where you filter the bass line out of one song, it may be like Confunction or something. You take their bass line, you filter, you take all the highs out of it.
Right.
You slap it on the top of the Atomic Dog. Okay? You'll find them, I swear to God, you listen to any of them old Ice Cube albums, Atomic Dog is like the main ingredient of like America's Most Wanted, all them albums. Like, it's like there's so much Atomic Dog in that shit. Like, seriously, but it's all different, though. It was brilliantly done, though, versus Lethal Injection. Now you got Cube with like, right, you got, you know, the West Side track. You got, you know, Ghetto Bird. You know, it's got this synthesized, everything changed, bro. Everything changed, bro. And same, I mean, like, right after, what, Cube's Death Certificate came out, I'm thinking, 91? Right after Death Certificate, here comes Dre with the Chronic. I mean, and Dre did some shit that was brilliant to me. He did something that was brilliant because Dre used samples but didn't use samples. Dre had live musicians come in and replay old shit.
And you said,
dude, it was brilliant, bro. But it also brought this fresh new sound to dude, all Scott's the Focus. I mean, there's a lot of producers that came out of there, man. Like, but it gave like this new. It took that old grooves and like regrooved them, and gave them like new life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
the flavor.
Another reason I think it was brilliant because he took songs that were familiar already, Like Gin and Juice, all of them, the beats, the rhythms were already there. You take a song, I think Puffy said it years ago. If you use a song that was already a hit, it's gonna be a hit, bro.
Again.
It's just
if it ain't.
This is what it is, bro. It's just what it is.
And it triggers something for people. It's familiar. Seriously. People love that shit.
They recognize. They leech onto it. They be like, oh, shit. You know,
they like familiar shit.
Exactly, bro. You know what I'm saying? And then you add the flair that Death Row had. You know what I'm saying? They bringing back the dramatics. Well, like I said, my mom, we asked the vacuum to them, you know, and Luther and all that stuff, man. So they changed the game, man. I mean, and I look at TDE, man, being real close to Death Row, man. Like, seriously, TDE is, they got a camp, bro. Like, a lot of people sleep on TDE, Top Dog Entertainment.
Yeah.
But I see, like, dude, they're building, bro. They slowly building because, yeah, I mean,
still,
like.
They still working.
They working, man. I mean, and that's just, like I said, that's just my West Coast eye, man. When I look at everything else going on, man, you know, I hate to see young brothers and sisters lose their lives because I feel like Pop Smoke was about to change the East Coast game.
Man.
I feel like, seriously, man, he was like, with all due respect, he was like mini 50 Cent to me.
Yeah.
Seriously, bro. You talking about a young man who was, I didn't even know him, dude, but I saw how he moved. And I saw how people loved him. Like, there's when you can, and that's what Tupac felt. Tupac felt that wherever he went, it should be love. You know what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate sometimes, man, because it's not always love, man. And that's how it only take one time, man, to get caught off guard, man. And unfortunately, that's what happened to a lot of brothers, from Pac to Pop Smoke to, what was his name, Extension? I can't ever say it. My daughter's
Extension.
I mean, all them brothers, man. These people are dying. Amy Winehouse. Fucking John Lennon. Okay? These people died way too soon, bro. Because somebody was obsessed or hell-bent on just fandom. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to be a fan, but you ain't got to take my life behind it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't even that serious to me, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
People like Bruce Lee, man. Come on now. I mean, like, Brandon Lee, man. Like, who? How do you not know that there's not blanks in a gun before you fire it on a movie set? We're talking a multi-million dollar movie set. No one checks this shit. You just fire the gun on the scene and boom. Just,
yeah, that's crazy.
No, there's shit that there's other shit working, man. There's other forces at work, bro. And they always at work, man. Right now, with people, there's somebody out there listening to this podcast mad because y'all able to do this shit. There's somebody sitting out there mad because they feel like I shouldn't be on this shit. Where 800 come from? Who's 800? Like, seriously, it's just how the world works. You know what I'm saying? Who's Truga? I don't know them. They ain't my homeboys. I've never heard of their name before. We ain't nobody to them, man. And that's unfortunate. That's the way the world works, man. You know what I'm saying? We on some deep shit tonight. It's probably one of the deeper shows, huh?
For sure, nah. This is it.
We're high. This is one of the deeper shows, man. Shit. You know?
We are high.
But, you know, it's just, and that's why I'm going to throw it back, man. Thankful, man. I'm thankful. I've got to work with a lot of people. I'm thankful I'm still here. I'm thankful for everything that people have contributed to me, the people I'm around, the people I surround myself with. I try to surround myself with love. You know what I'm saying? Bro. And, man, I got this new project coming, man, and I'm going to give it to y'all soon.
That's dope.
That 2819 is what it's called. It's going to be different. Like I said, y'all will enjoy it, though, because if you ask me, it's something to just ride to.
Is it done, or
are
you still working?
It's done, man.
Is it done, or are you still working on it? Tweaking it?
See, that's the part that goes along with getting older, JT, and I'm sure y'all – if you ain't experienced it, you will. I have gotten so picky that it's hard for me. I almost need to let somebody else mix it, bro. Seriously, I've gotten that critical on my, like, I can record someone else's music and mix it out the door. No problem. when I'm listening to my music,
yours is a different
dude,
story.
I am so critical, man. It may be a clav or a clavicle in the background or a hi-hat that's just jumping out at me, or it could be, but I've gotten too picky. When I was younger, I trusted my mixes. Now it's just like I want it so perfect, and I've learned to do so much with dynamics that I'm having a hard time, man. Like, I may have to send it out, man, and get it mixed.
You know what I'm gonna say? You need to fuck with the homies.
Absolutely. Flawless, I mean, I may have to call on Flawless, man. I know Flawless, man. Shout out to Flawless, man. But I mean,
you know, F Dot, shout out. You know, hit him up for real, because that's a, he. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was there the other night, and he was.
Yeah.
I don't want to say coaching, but he was teaching. You know what I mean? He was teaching.
Yeah.
And this, and they're doing an R&B rap.
Man, sometimes, man, like
too, bro.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I think I can be my worst critic, bro. Right.
Biggest critic.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Right. I want my drums to knock harder. Yeah, I mean, like, Q-tip. I want my sense to ring the bells. I want the angels to sing on my pads.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Rude. Like, seriously. And sometimes, like, I don't know. I think I drive other people crazy with that shit, man, because I've become a perfectionist, man. I really have. Like I said, anybody else's project, I can send out the door, man. Confident, everything, bro. My shit, I'm having the worst time mixing this shit, man. I may have to enlist somebody, man. Seriously.
Sometimes you gotta do what you do.
Absolutely.
Like, so you gotta invest,
I mean, that's
yourself,
one thing I don't mind, man. Like, the song is done. 16 tracks. Man, start to finish. It starts in 1977, bro. And it ends in 2021. That's how the projects rise through, bro. So, I mean, like, and it's, I try to incorporate some of the time periods along with it, like, in the music. So, I mean, like, I've always been melodic, and I like a lot of percussions and shit. And so it's different, man. It doesn't have a lot of 808s and claps and shit like that. Like, I got, like, I went the route of some of my other brothers, man. I was going finding, like, live drums and shit like that and chopping them up and replaying them and shit to give it. I mean, like, I really wanted it to have a big circumference in sound, if I could put it like that. I wanted it to be, like, you know, when you listen to a Marvin Gaye album, you know, it just doesn't sound like nothing else, man. It doesn't sound like an Earth, Wind & Fire album. It doesn't sound like a. It doesn't sound like a Curtis Mayfield album. It doesn't sound like a Michael Jackson album or anybody else, man, who was in the times right there, man. It sounds like a Marvin Gaye album, bro. Like, he knew how to use dynamics. Yeah. Like, his strings would sweep in from the left and wrap around. Like, there's certain things that there's parts in the music that, like, I'm sure, like, the average consumer doesn't hear. They hear the music.
Right.
I'm listening to the instruments moving. You know what I mean? I'm listening to, like, the piano over in the background in the corner over there. It's not up front. It's not in the middle. It's back in the corner. You know what I'm saying? The singers are pan, where you've got your tenors to the left and maybe some altos in the middle or however, some sopranos over here. Like, there's dynamics. Right. People don't use dynamics like they could.
Totally.
There's a dynamic feel. Just us sitting here in y'all studio, there's a dynamic field around this table right here, okay? And if you just do stereo, you're just going to have plane left, plane right. But there's all this space in between right here and on the sides and in the middle right here that we could be using. You know what I'm saying? To, like, really bring that shit out.
Yep.
And I think the word,
sound.
Yeah, the word that I'm looking for, look, they don't even say the word no more. The word I'm looking for is polyphonic. Before there was stereo, they had polyphonics. It was mono and there was polyphonic. Mono was, I mean, we all know, mono is one single, one channel. Polyphonic, channel. You listen to like some old, Isley Brothers. I'm talking about old Isley Brothers, when they like It's Your Thing. Like, when they first started recording, okay? This is where polyphonic was different from stereo. Because if you listen to them old recordings, you'll hear all the vocals on ones on the left channel. All the vocals. There may be a piano player over there with them.
But that's
the drums, if you pan right, it's almost like you got an instrumental. because the drums, the basses, the horns, everything else gonna be on the right side. But when you put them together in a room and you let these two different sides play, you get this, like this sound rainbow, if you will, like this arc. You know what I'm saying? Which eventually became stereo, where they took the drums and they may have put the kick in the middle, but the hi-hats is over here and the shakers is over here. They mean, so like stereo came from polyphonic, but that's where I've been trying to really get to, man. I'm trying to, if you ask me, music sounded better back then, bro. It did, because they only had, most of the time, they only had 8 tracks
right
to work with. They didn't have 32 tracks, 42 tracks, unlimited Pro Tools. They had 8 knobs and a big-ass compressor with a reel-to-reel running behind them, dude. And some of those recordings have the best clarity. I'm dead serious, man. Some of those recordings, you listen to some old George Benson. I'm talking about before Breezin', before we even get to the 80s. Listen to some, like, early 1971 George Benson. You know what I'm saying? Listen to some, like, Frank Zappa. We'll take it there, bro. Right, right. Seriously. And listen to how these people recorded, bro. The dynamics. And this is where I think Dre is getting it from, because Dre's music has these type of dynamics. Right. When I heard Compton has dynamics to it, bro. When it first comes on, it's like that THX shit that you see in a theater. Like, it comes on like a movie. And then breaks down into this, like I've studied that album so much because the dynamics in there are so major. I listened to it on a 9.1 surround sound. Like, it's not like listening to it on stereo, bro. I guarantee you it's an experience, bro. That album is different. And this is why, I mean, I hear it. And that's where I'm set out for it, man. I gotta do something different, bro. Just like we were talking about earlier, I gotta come out of the cookie cutter sheet. And I gotta set my feet. Compton? Oh, yeah, bro.
That
Compton,
right? The Compton one?
Yes. Yes, sir. Last one, yes, sir. With Kendrick. Like, you listen to a song like Deep Water, that song Deep Water on there?
I've listened to it a long time. It was like...
It was different. And I think it was acclaimed different because people are so used to... They want that funky Gangsta Dre album. You know what I'm saying?
They want that Dre.
But what this album was, like, this album was... To me, it was cinematic, bro. Like, trust me, bro. Now that I said this, just give it a spin one time and listen to the placement of shit in this album, bro. No album has been mixed like this, bro. No album... Not in a long time, bro, has been mixed like that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some, man, I give it to him, bro. Him and his staff, bro, they killing it, bro, because I've heard nobody else's album. I mean, not to say nobody else's album is not clean, but everybody else's album is in stereo.
Right.
If Dre mixes your shit's going to get mixed like a fucking movie soundtrack. Like, it's going to get, man, come on, bro.
Top notch.
It's just what it is, but. You know, once again, thankful though, man. Thankful y'all brothers had me out, man. I'm feeling good with y'all, man. How y'all feeling?
Yo, man.
Hell yeah. I'm fucking high.
Man, I done watched y'all talk a few of them back, man. You know, shoes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, man. So, man, I see you got these eye packs, bro. Talk.
Yeah.
Man.
It's going, man. It's really, it's just starting too. We're about to do some cool stuff with the individual artists and Strain Designs.
Yes, sir.
It's pretty exciting.
Man, y'all being, like I said, man, what y'all got going is beautiful, man. You know, just the love, the environment, the vibe, man. Y'all got some beautiful things going over here, man. And shoots, man, whatever I can contribute or however, man. Joe Thunder said he need beats, so.
Yeah, let's go.
You're going to hear me again real soon.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yes, there you go.
Ain't that what they call it, man? Or so,
there you go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. You know, I try to stay hip, but some of this stuff, it just don't feel right when they ride out. So I'm with you on that.
Gangster.
Yeah, man. Yes, real, man. We boogie.
You know, yeah, we don't dance.
Yeah, man. Shit, man, what you got coming up, man, outside of that? Man, y'all beautiful, this man. Y'all said this is like the 100 plus, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Nah, something like that. It's getting. Yeah. There's, you know what I mean? I kind of, like I said, I exaggerate my numbers a lot, but actually we are pretty close.
Man, y'all going to have to invite me back for the 100th episode, man. Yeah. Just let me stand in the corner or something, man. Yeah, you know, I bring a cake.
Yeah, for real.
Give me a counter.
Yeah, I ain't going to throw it at nobody. Yeah, man, because that's a beautiful thing, man. Tomorrow, I mean, when you, with what y'all doing for the community, man, you, I think everybody who's contributed, man, would see that as a celebratory event, man. I mean, 100, y'all getting close to 100 episodes, man. Not only y'all working y'all's ass off, but y'all getting out there.
Doing it, man.
We might have to throw
And shout out everybody who's been on the show.
Seriously,
know?
Man, I think that's...
It's really
bro, we've had a ton of people.
Yeah, man, I mean, like I said, man, it's comfortable in here. The vibe is good, man. The artwork is beautiful, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah,
my eyes are burning.
The weed is good.
Well, you can't even look. My man over here, my man Elvis over here, just, woo. He got dry eyes.
You smoked out.
Yes, sir. But yeah, man, look for your boy, man. 800 the Jewel. It ain't over yet. Man, I'm everywhere, man. You find me on Instagram, but you're going to think that my page is a dummy account because I ain't got shit on there, bro. But I communicate. I communicate. You know what I'm saying? I ain't too flossy, man. I just keep a low pro. 800 the Jewel or the Jewel Facebook. You know what I'm saying? About to get this website jumping off here soon, man. I just gotta sit down with these people, man, because – once again, man, I think there's pros and cons to the internet. It just depends on what you want to do with it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that after sitting down with my team and some of my other people, man, like it's an excellent outlet to self-promote. And I advise people to get out there and do that. If you got something hot, man, ain't nobody going to ever know it's there unless you speaking on it, unless you out there public pubbing it, unless you out there foot soldiering it. Unless you out there, you got a team of people who believe in you and are loyal to you and your craft who are going to help you push that shit. You know what I'm saying? 100. Truger, man.
That's facts, big facts.
You just stepping back in. Yeah. Truger stepped out. You see Truger slid out to the sec. He slid out real quietly.
Hey, tell him what your social media is.
Truger Beats, that's TRUGGABEATZ. Can always contact me there. Email's the same. Twitter's the same. Facebook is Andre Galloway. You can find my music on Sound. It's not Sound. I used to be on there, but BeatStars / Truger Beats. You can search for me on there. If you need beats, you can also hit up my email trugerbeats@gmail.com. And I'll send you the link or hit me up on any one of my social media sites and I'll send you the link for that. So
look, that man together. That man got together. He said you can hit him up, call me on my cell phone at 514.
Hell yeah.
Man, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna shout out the town, bro. I see a lot of people working hard, man. I'm gonna shout out everybody out there that's working, man. Jewel Time on deck all the time. My brothers from Absolute, you know what I'm saying? Anybody for the mother who's struggling, trying to make ends meet, that feel like tomorrow ain't going to come fast enough, it's going to come, sweetheart. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow going to be a good day for
tomorrow's
you. You know
day.
What I'm saying? And love, peace to all. You know what I'm saying? Once again, you grown man, you need to talk to 800. Please do so on that level. Besides that, man, I'm out.
Yep, and I would like to give a shout out to, you know, Absolute first and foremost. You know, that's the squad that gave me a shot and that behind me and between everything that I'm going through and everything that I'm doing right now. So I also want to give a shout out to you know, my mother, my aunt, one of my friends that I manage, Chef Darcy. Give a shout out to her. She got some big things going on pretty soon.
Some fire food.
Fire food,
man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
So check her out @ Chef Darcy. And then that's about it. Shout out to 800. Thank you for bringing me here.
Shout out to Elvis Freshly and my brother Joe Thunder because they invited us into their home.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming, man.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure meeting you, bro. Absolutely.
Shout out DJ Sin. She couldn't make it today. Yo, she's dope.
Absolutely.
Nice. Excited for you guys to meet her. She's really dope.
Yay, yay, man.
Hell yeah. Well, there you have it, man. A motherfucker.
Yeah, we done got deep tonight. I'm talking about, like I said, this is that come to Jesus conversation.
I think we got one of everything for you. We got history with the video.
Seriously.
We got the podcast for you, and then we got a third one for y'all. So we putting in that overtime, bringing you that dope shit, man. Like, you know what I mean? Find us everywhere, all platforms.
Oh, peace.
Get
out of here. Peace.